The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I'm wishing everybody a merry, merry Christmas. Or, as the folks down at the Washington Post would say, merry impeachmas. Yes. Oh, hang on. Let me turn the music off in the background here. I feel like spitting some bars over it, huh? Now, let me just shut this off. All right, now let's get some work done. All right, so what I'm referencing is apparently there's this term now, Merry Impeachmas, instead of Merry Christmas, right? It's Merry Impeachmas. So, I mean, that's not funny. That's really kind of shoehorned in there. If impeachment sounded like Christmas a little bit, and then, you know, you made it into something, that would be good, but God, liberals are not funny. They're no good with humor. They used to be funny. I don't know what happened. They're not funny anymore. Merry impeachmas? You know what it is? They're trying so hard to get their point across that they can't do it in a clever way. This is why SNL isn't funny anymore. They just go, okay, we have to make it clear that this has happened. And then they try to structure a joke around that instead of coming up with a joke, right? And so that's the case here. Merry impeachmas. That's not clever. That's not. It's terrible. It's bad. It's not funny. Merry impeachmas. All right. So anyway, a bunch of them are saying merry impeachmas, not realizing that it's uncool and unfunny. And the Washington Post put out a tweet, which is insanity. You know, it just shows how there is no thinking anymore on the part of the press. And I suppose this is what happens when you have a bad economy and when your business model has changed. So, you know, back in the 90s, they used to make fun of the internet and things, and they just kept on printing papers, not really thinking that they would soon be extinct, these newspapers. So, you know, in comes the 2000s, and they're losing more and more money, more papers are going out of business, and they're just kind of hanging on by a thread. And so, you know, when you don't have as much income as before, and you got to really start saving, what do? Well, you hire the cheapest, laziest, hackiest talent. And that's what we have now. And these are the people reporting the news to us. They don't even report things. They interpret things. It's amazing. I see people who are known as being just kind of, they're smear artists, basically. And then they get hired by actual companies with reputations, or that used to have reputations. I mean, they've destroyed them now. I wouldn't trust anything that CNN says at face value without double checking it. Same thing goes for Washington Post or New York Times. I mean, these used to be the bastions of truth. And now it's so transparently obvious that they don't even do surface level fact checking. So they're completely useless. And, you know, the fact checking that they do is not anything that you couldn't do. You could just go on the internet and check the facts just as hard as they're checking the facts. Gone are the days of the investigative reporter that would pound the asphalt, you know, that would go checking on sources, making sure that every I was dotted and every T was crossed. Now you've got the worst. You've got these college kids that don't know their ass from their elbow telling you what to think. They think that's their job, to interpret the news not in an unbiased way, but in a way that puts their way of thinking into your head. I'm astounded when I look at the headlines of articles that no matter what side you believe in, you can see that it's not a fair way of reporting the news, and yet the editor lets them get away with it. I'm really baffled. But I suppose that it must work to some degree. I mean, they are still in business, right? So anyway, here's a Washington Post. Merry impeachment from the WAPO team. PK Capital is buying with, and then they tag a bunch of other people in the photo. Other journalists, so-called, in the photo. This was from Rachel Bade, who works for the Washington Post, a reporter for the Washington Post. Astounding. You know, they don't even hide it now. They think they're on the side of right, and they refuse to look at any other point of view. How hard is it to go, well, hey, it's possible someone would disagree with this. Although, I guess it's hard for me to believe that anybody could think that it's okay to put out a tweet like that, Merry Impeachment, and you're a news organization. You know, you have it on your description that you're a reporter, and you're saying that this is from the Washington Post team. I mean, you figure somebody would get in trouble for this. I just saw a report from CNN, how Merry Impeachment became a thing. And we're supposed to take them as the guardians of truth? Let me ask my girlfriend. Hey, girlfriend, do you think the term Merry Impeachment is clever? It's terrible. Yeah, she said it's terrible. It is. It's awful. It's not funny in any way, shape, or form. Stop saying it. Just, you're embarrassing yourself. I mean, even if you believe the president should be impeached and you like it, express it in another way. Because that is just so bad. It looks so bad. Yeah, you're exactly right. She says it's shoehorned in so awkwardly and it doesn't fit at all. Really? I mean, if you see somebody trying to pound a square peg into a round hole, you're not like, oh, look at their grit and determination. You know, you're like, the person's an idiot. Oh, speaking of impeachment, okay. So if you remember a couple of shows back, I said that why are the Democrats doing this impeachment thing? It's just going to make them look bad. Maybe not as bad as saying Merry Impeachment, but it's going to make them look pretty bad. And it's going to boost Donald Trump. I mean, it did. It helped us fundraising and everything. So why do it? And a few episodes back on this show, I mentioned that a possibility was that they're going to have the senators like Sanders and Warren and some of the others are going to have to go in and work on the impeachment because once it goes to the Senate. Oh, real quick. So a couple of things here. One that I should have mentioned. The liberals are going bananas about the impeachment, right? They're so happy. And it's amusing to me how many of them don't realize that impeachment simply means that now you can look at the case, that it's going to go to the Senate, and then they'll determine what charges get put, if any, against the president. So impeachment doesn't mean really anything. And I don't blame people for getting it wrong, because I remember when the Clinton hearing was going on, and I thought that impeachment meant that you get removed from office because Nixon had resigned. But you hear Nixon was impeached, and that's basically used as a synonym to mean that he's not president anymore because they didn't like him, right? But what happened was Nixon was impeached, and then he resigned, and that's the reason. That was my girlfriend sneezing in the background, and my stomach growling also. and that's the reason why he left office, was because he resigned. He wasn't actually thrown out of office. But that impeachment was the beginning of the end. Now, when Bill Clinton got impeached, that went to the Senate, and they didn't throw him out of office either, right? So he got to stay despite being impeached. Now, you go on Facebook and on Twitter, and you see a lot of people have the misconception that being impeached means that you're going to get thrown out of office, and it doesn't. So first of all, I got to laugh at that. I think that's fantastic that, you know, you have these liberals and they're so happy. Oh, yay. Trump got impeached. Merry impeachmas. And he's still here. And girlfriend, have you seen any of the fallout of this, of somebody saying something on Facebook, for instance, going, oh, I'm so happy that Trump is impeached and that and we're finally going to get rid of him. And then somebody else says, well, impeachment actually means something else. You've seen that? Have you seen it a lot? Yeah. You can't curse on the air. She's saying basically this happens all the time, but in more emphatic terms. So that fills me with glee. Could you imagine being anti-Trump and just like and nothing's working against him? Like every scandal. And, you know, you keep reading about how bad he is, right? Because all the press is slanted against him and you believe it, right? You don't do your own research. You just hang out with other people that feel the same way you do. Trump's president, you know, day after day. And you're just, you know, living in this bubble of everything sucks. Greatest economy ever, you know, and people are still upset. Now, I personally know that it's a phony economy. I do believe that. But look, when you're borrowing off the credit card, you're living high off the hog. This is a time to enjoy things right now. And they're just miserable. Now, I mean, who knows what the future holds? But the last 3 years to be a liberal or a never-Trumper, oh my goodness, just abysmal. Abysmal times to be living in for you. And I don't think it's going to get any better because Nancy Pelosi has delayed handing over the articles of impeachment to the Senate because she doesn't want the trial to begin yet. Now, this ties in with what I was talking about before. Why would she do this? Why would she delay it? Well, I guess one argument would be she wants to make it closer to the election. But why? If impeachment seems to be making Trump's numbers go up, wouldn't you want to get the ordeal over with right now? Why bring it up fresh in people's minds? Well, maybe it's a good talking point. Maybe you could have the Democrats out there saying, we can't elect someone who's under impeachment. Okay, so I mean, I could see that as being a strong reason. But another reason might be because she doesn't want the senators, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and some of the others to be able to compete against Joe Biden and Buttigieg, who is right now the golden boy, right? So if they're busy in the Senate and they're off the campaign trail, then that means that it's more likely that Joe Biden, who will be able to campaign freely, is going to get more votes for them and therefore get the nomination, the Democratic nomination. So, you know, if you want to talk about 4D chess, that might be a consideration. Otherwise, what's the use of delaying it? Why would you do that? Well, here's an article from The Hill, and it has a possible reason. So this is in her own words. Here's a headline. McConnell, holding articles of impeachment gives Pelosi no leverage. Of course, that's from Mitch McConnell's point of view. He says, it's beyond me how the Speaker and Democratic leader in the Senate think withholding the articles of impeachment and not sending them over gives them leverage. Frankly, I'm not anxious to have the trial. If she thinks her case is so weak she doesn't want to send it over, throw me into that briar patch, McConnell added. He also said that it's by far the thinnest basis for any House-passed presidential impeachment in American history. And he mocked that House Democrats are afraid to submit their two articles of impeachment to the Senate. Well, I mean, the impeachment articles are weak sauce. So one cites abuse of power, and the other one cites, I believe, obstruction of justice, if I remember. But I also remember that they don't put forward any proof. So normally, in these impeachment hearings, you actually have the real reason they're being impeached, not, oh, abuse of power. You don't just put abuse of power. You should be naming specifically what that abuse is. Now, another thing that I want to point out is that, look, if you have a test due, all right, and or your homework is due, you have to turn in your homework, right? If you finish your homework, but you don't turn it in, you have not really finished your assignment. Does that make sense? So what's happened here is, just say the Edman finishes his homework. The press goes nuts. They go, Edman finished his homework. Hey, everybody. Edman finished his homework. It's homework-us day, right? But the thing is, I didn't give that homework to the teacher. So I'm still, from her point of view, not having completed the assignment. So from the teacher's point of view, that assignment is not done. So while the press is going every which way, going, the articles of impeachment have been filed. No, they haven't been given to the Senate. So technically, and I don't know, maybe some legal scholar could correct me on this, but technically, he has not been impeached. So while you can say that he's been impeached, and here in Wikipedia it says he was impeached with the completion of the articles of impeachment on December 13th. But if he's been impeached, and impeachment means that it's time to open the trial, then that means that the Senate is able to open the trial, but they can't because they haven't been given the papers. So you can say he's impeached, you can claim that impeachment has happened, but it hasn't because the Senate does not have the articles of impeachment. Does that make sense to you the way that I'm saying that? I hope so. It makes sense to me. Just because the homework is completed doesn't mean that the assignment is completed. So you can technically claim impeachment because the articles of impeachment have been finished. But until they've been turned over to the Senate, from my point of view, I mean, just thinking about it, constitutionally, the president has not been impeached. Am I right? Now, look, guys, I understand that when you have seemingly reputable papers and news sources saying that the president has been impeached, I know that it's hard to make the case that he hasn't. But guys, if the Senate doesn't have the papers, he has not been impeached. Am I right? I think I am. So when I heard that Nancy Pelosi has delayed the articles of impeachment, I'm like, wait, how can you do that? How can you delay the impeachment and make it happen when you want it to happen? It just means that the homework has not been turned in. And so the assignment has not been completed. And impeachment has not occurred. Because if the president was impeached, then the trial can begin. And it can't. So I've been saying ignore this, just like I had been saying ignore Russiagate, right? And nothing's going to come of it. Nothing came of it. And this impeachment, not even the first step has been completed yet. The impeachment hasn't even happened. So forget worrying about it. Nothing has happened. Now, a couple of things may occur, and I could be proven wrong about this. So for instance, maybe the Senate and all of Congress will hold this over Trump's head and say, either you do what we want you to do, either you keep these wars going on, or we will vote for impeachment. Maybe Nancy Pelosi is waiting for a stronger case. Maybe she's waiting for him to step into some doo-doo and then, you know, make an ad to the articles of impeachment. She did want to wait, if you recall. She didn't want to go through with this impeachment process, but her base is yelling and screaming at her. So by being able to report in the newspapers, Trump has been impeached, you can make the case, well, you wanted him impeached and he's impeached. That's it. I mean, look, you can point to CNN and to the Washington Post and the New York Times, and they all say he's been impeached. How can you deny that without sounding like a conspiracy theorist? But guys, if the Senate does not have the articles of impeachment and they cannot proceed, how can you say that he's been impeached? He hasn't. again, maybe my terms are not correct. Maybe you can impeach the president and then never have a trial. So what if, and you can impeach a president as many times as you want. So they can they impeach him again? 3 times, 4 times, 5 times? Just never send the articles of impeachment over and say, hey, this president's been impeached 6 times. And just no trial ever happens? How many times can we impeach him before he leaves? You know, would you vote for a president that's been impeached 6 times? I mean, I would if all the impeachments were like this, with this flimsy garbage evidence. I would definitely do it. Let's see what else has been going on. Oh, we had the Democrat debate. That was fun. You know, Tulsi Gabbard wasn't in it, so I wasn't really into it. But we had a couple of nice fiery moments. I was hoping the candidates would fight a little bit more, but they got a couple of digs in to one another, notably Pete Buttigieg. So they were kind of going after him because he's a sort of front runner right now. I know Biden is still up there nationally, but Buttigieg has made huge strides, and so people were kind of gunning for him. Let's see, we had Elizabeth Warren made a dig at him. Elizabeth Warren is now claiming that she's not going to take any money from big corporations. And it's such garbage because she's flip-flopped on that issue. Originally, she said she wasn't going to. And then she did. And then she said, well, I don't believe in running a unilateral... I don't believe in unilateral disarmament. That's what she said. And that's the reason she claimed that she should be able to take money from big donors, even though her base hates that. They feel that it makes you corrupt. So then she flip-flopped on that. Now she claims that she's not going to, but what she did was a very sneaky thing. She took the big money donations that she got and put it into her campaign afterwards, then claiming that she's only going to take small donations, but she's already using the big dollar donations that she got. And then she had claimed that Pete Buttigieg is accepting money from big donors, saying that he hosted this wine, you know, $1,000 wine glass, you know, thing. And Buttigieg came back. He said, look, I'm the only non-millionaire up here on stage. If I couldn't talk to people who accepted big money donations, I wouldn't be able to speak to any of you. So that was a pretty good comeback. And then Bernie Sanders jumped in on it and said that Joe Biden has taken something like 59, 69, something donations from big donors. And then he said that, Pete Buttigieg, you're pretty close to that. I know you're an energetic fellow. I'm interested to see if you can get as high as Biden is getting. And Bernie Sanders was very funny about it, and the crowd laughed and stuff, and Pete didn't have anything to say. Is his first name actually Pete? Am I saying that wrong? He looks to me, Pete Buttigieg to me, looks like an evil version of Peter Parker. It is. That is his first name, Pete. Pete. And then I remember his last name by saying Booty Judge, because he's gay. Like he's judging everyone's booties, you know? Oh, yeah, and then he got into it with Klobuchar. And she said, she was saying, oh, you know, I'm from the Midwest, so you should elect me because I know how to run a campaign. And then Buttigieg chimes in and he says, you want to talk about running a gathering a coalition? Try being a gay person in the state, Mike Pence's home state of Indiana. And putting together a coalition when you're running there. And though he got a lot of applause from that one, because it makes sense, because, you know, the common knowledge is that Mike Pence hates gays. And then he was running in that, you know, in that state. And then Klobuchar comes back with a good one. She says, yeah, but you lost by 20 points. which is accurate. I think he lost by 25 points. So, you know, it's not really a statement of having the ability to win by putting together a coalition in a hard-to-win state when you lost massively. Wine caves, that's what they were talking about. Billionaires in wine caves shouldn't be judging the outcome of our elections. That's what Elizabeth Warren said. She's such a phony. You know, at the end, she had this weird moment where she wanted people to think she was so intently looking at her notes that she didn't hear her name called. Right? They're doing the